In 2009, Zimbabwe was the subject of incredulity and or mockery when it issued a $100 trillion bill, the graphics department of the country's Reserve Bank somehow finding sufficient room on the banknotes for the requisite number of zeros. 14, if you're running out of fingers. Such was the state of Zimbabwe's currency at the time that the $100 trillion bill was worth close to nothing. Almost certainly literally less than the paper upon which it was printed. It was the climactic spasm of a period of hyperinflation occasioned by the lunatic economic policies of unlamented tyrant Robert Mugabe, which had turned a country once renowned as Africa's breadbasket into the continent's most abject basket case. Beleaguered Zimbabweans traded jokes borrowed from 1930s Weimar Germany, later revived in 1990s Yugoslavia, about people going to the shops to buy milk with a wheelbarrow full of cash, only to be preyed upon by muggers who took the wheelbarrow and left the money.
Oh no.
The Zimbabwean dollar was understandably abandoned shortly afterwards, Zimbabweans preferring to conduct business in US dollars, South African rand, Botswanan pula, and euros, among other currencies. A new Zimbabwean dollar was introduced in 2019, but nobody much trusted that either, and it has substantially lapsed into disuse after losing three-quarters of its value this year. Or, given the reliance of a given currency on the belief of consumers and traders, has lost three-quarters of its value this year because it substantially lapsed into disuse. So for a decade and a half, Zimbabwe has effectively been a member of that exclusive coterie of countries which do not have an official currency of their own, alongside a few appropriators of the euro, Kosovo, Montenegro, and a smattering of European micronations, and other borrowers of the US dollar, including Ecuador, El Salvador, and Timor-Leste. Another one to watch here is Argentina, whose rambunctious president, Javier Milei, still claims to be determined to implement his election promise of abandoning the inflation-stricken Argentinian peso for the American greenback. In theory, however, Zimbabwe will get a new currency to call its own this week. It is the ZiG. Officially, if annoyingly written as capital Z, lowercase I, capital G, the name is an abbreviation of Zimbabwe Gold. The name is significant. Upon the introduction of the ZiG, Zimbabwe will become the only country in the world with a currency backed by gold. The gold standard, that is, the tying of a currency to precious metal, hasn't really been a thing for a while. It was quite common until the Great Depression of the 1930s, after which policymakers began to seek more flexible options. The last country to leave the gold standard was Switzerland in 1999, though Switzerland does retain the world's seventh largest holding of the stuff.
We want a solid and stable national currency for this country. It hasn't happened for many years, and it's time we had that in place. We want a stable and sustainable exchange rate. We want robust policy credibility and restoration of market confidence.
Zimbabwe's Reserve Bank hopes that pinning the ZiG to gold, as well as reserves of other minerals and foreign currencies, will promote trust in the new currency and persuade Zimbabweans to return to the formal financial sector instead of taking their chances with the unsafe, uncheckable, untaxable, unofficial practices which have become locally known as mattress banking. As of this week's announcement, Zimbabweans will have 3 weeks to trade whatever current Zimbabwean dollars they have been buoying their slumbers with for ZiGs, which they can use to buy a new mattress.
We have not changed anything, and I think as long as we don't address production with a big informal sector, which has got its own informal rules, its own governor, its own mattress bank, it's not banking money, so how are you going to influence change? In terms of current stability.
The pitch for the ZiG, made by John Mushayavanyu, the governor of Zimbabwe's Reserve Bank, is that the old-school linkage to gold will mitigate against Zimbabwe's still chronic inflation, currently running somewhere around north of 55%, which is actually a considerable improvement on this time last year, when it was 87%, by making it impossible for the government to simply print more money, as it has done repeatedly in the past, despite mountainous evidence to the effect that this, at least past a certain point, has a tendency to create more problems than it solves, and indeed can ruin your currency to the extent that the only point in holding the banknotes is the hope of selling them online as novelty bookmarks a few years down the track. You can pick up a used Zimbabwean $100 trillion note on eBay for around 99 pence just now, by an order of magnitude more than it was worth when printed. Skeptics have been heard to mutter that the ZiG may be scuppered by a different inbuilt weakness, in that Zimbabwe's current gold reserves are relatively meagre, perhaps one tonne of gold or equivalent in the Reserve Bank's vaults, another tonne and a half stored elsewhere. By way of contrast with another poor to poorish country with a similar population, around 16 million or so, Cambodia presently holds 20 times as much gold as that. But while Zimbabwe has learned the hard way that printing more money doesn't work, Zimbabwe can theoretically mine more gold. It presently ranks 21st among the world's gold-producing nations. For the moment, at least, Zimbabwean authorities seem keen to have a few zigs each way, which is to say that other currencies will still be allowed to circulate. Zimbabweans who were alive at independence in 1980 have seen five currencies collapse. There seems to be some awareness at large that it might take them a while to place much faith in a sixth. For Monocle Radio, I'm Andrew Muller.